Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner, and I have with me the Tom Dean. How are you doing today, Tom?
I am doing fantastic, thank you.
Awesome. Well, listen, we're going to talk all about publishing and marketing, and we're going to talk about some trends that are happening, and this is going to be shared all kinds of groups all over the place. So people will be jumping in here asking comments, but folks, just to tee it up today, Tom is a very experienced, which means he's older than me. No, I don't know. If older than me. No, but Tom is very experienced in the publishing world. In fact, Tom, you've worked for some of the biggest publishers in the world, and you were the VP of marketing.
Correct.
Wow. Correct. So I'm going to ask you to do some name drops here. People like Philip Yancey.
Yes.
People like, who's the 1000 Gifts?
Ann Voskamp.
I mean, you've worked with New York Times bestsellers. You've worked with small, big. Just talk a little bit about your history. And already you have some super fans here. Daphne's showing up and she's excited to be here. We have Montreal in the house, Michael. We have Tampa, Florida. We have Tina, we have Lynn, all kinds of people jumping in. And folks, share this, because I'll tell you what, you can't afford Tom's hourly rate, but seriously, he's worth every dime. He's a great guy. And he came on today for free to answer questions. So now is the time to share this with all your author friends. But Tom, give us a little bit about background as people start getting their questions.
Sure. Yeah, you bet. So the last 20 years of my career, which I transitioned out of the publishing as a full-time career in July of this year, but the last 20 years was with Zondervan. And Zondervan is a division of HarperCollins out of New York. And HarperCollins is, of course, one of the top five big publishers out of New York City. And my roles at Zondervan were in a few different areas: product development for gift books. I worked on the marketing side for Bibles and launched the historic audio Bible project called The Bible Experience.
Wow.
Which used all African-American talent out of Hollywood. Then I've spent the last 12 years on the Zondervan Books team, and the last six of those 12 as the VP of marketing for Zondervan Books. And so, yes, you're right. You mentioned Ann Voskamp and Philip Yancey as a top, you know, a few of the top authors that I've worked with and developed great relationships with. But there's other people like Lee Strobel and Craig Rochelle and Shauna Nyquist. And just some really spectacular people. But I also had the joy and the privilege of bringing new voices to market as well. So brand, you know, first time authors. I think that's one of the beautiful things about Zondervan is that we took chances on first-time authors like yourself,
You took it. I was looking for my secret name book here, but you took a chance on me.
Exactly. And I mean, that's, you know, today a lot of publishers are, you know, the bar is pretty high for them to even consider an author, which is unfortunate, I think, because there's so many authors like yourself who are great talent, and it takes several books. I mean, I can tell you, like, you know, I can't name names, but there are several authors I worked with first books were just minimal successes. But over time, as they developed their craft as a writer, as they grew their platform, as they built an audience, they just developed better, you know, into better and better authors as far as the number of books that they were able to sell or we were able to sell. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, you have the best tribe in the world watching.
Yes.
You have London. Sunil, just spoke with him yesterday. You have Rochelle, Scotland. You have Canada. Nice. You have all kinds of countries showing up here. Isn't that crazy? Don't we live in a crazy world to be able to just say, oh, we're talking to Scotland and
truly
Arizona. Yeah. So I'm going to ask people, like, now is your time. Put questions. Rochelle, I know you should have some questions, my friend, because Rochelle has a great book that's done very well. Alexa's Shoes, I believe it's called. But folks, now's your chance. I'm just gonna talk because I have questions. In fact, you're part of the Unhackable Project. I've personally hired you because I think you're that good. But if you're not gonna ask questions, I'm gonna ask questions. What do you think we did right with Unhackable that maybe some authors have not done? Because there's a lot of authors who are familiar now with the Unhackable concept. And what do you think we did well?
Yes.
And listen, I can take it. If you think we didn't do something well, I'll take it.
Sure.
You know, share that as well. And while you do that, I'm going to try to find my old Zondervan book. Okay.
It's so, up there.
What is it?
Well, I will say what you did well was, and I talked about this in the event a few weeks ago, a month ago, is you did a really good job of marinating in the message. Because like everything leading up to the launch and even post-launch, you've done a fantastic job. Like that, you're on message. Like you've continued to marinate in the message. So many authors make that mistake of, you know, I launch my book and I spend a week doing media and then I'm done. I'm whatever, moving on to the next thing. No, you got to like the next 12 months is what you need to be focusing on and spending time. And you're doing that. I mean, like masterfully, you're doing that through your network and through each of them talking about it. I mean, I can't get away from Unhackable every time I go to social media, it's showing up. So that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
That's what you want. So
well, let's talk about that. If you saw every time you went on social media, I'm like, buy this book, buy this book, buy this book. That gets old. But you're telling authors to take the message and then do a new angle.
Yes.
And do content marketing, not just say, hey, my book's out again for the 55th time, but to teach on it. Give us some examples of authors that you've worked with that have done that well. So that they are everywhere, but it's not just the single message of get my book.
Yeah, I think a year or two ago, and she was not one of my authors, but she was a part of the HarperCollins Christian publishing authors family, Rachel Hollis, Girl Wash Your Face. You know, everybody saw that book blow up. Her Instagram Instagram is where she kind of lives and breathes. Mm-hmm. And she just kept talking about it. Every post, every Insta story was related to the message in Girl Wash Your Face. It wasn't necessarily buy my book, but she was pretty forthright about buy my book as well. I mean, so sometimes you need you need those repeated encouragements, repeated reminders before somebody actually like finally says, click, I'm buying your book already.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. I think one of our friends, Jim Edwards, says it's the stealth close. It's like, oh, by the way, buy my book. Mm-hmm. In other words, that is the message of the post, but it's not the lead of the post.
Like, right.
It's the call to action.
Yes.
Here's our first question, folks. Listen, if you're not taking advantage of the questions, I'm gonna take this time. Oh, here they come, and now they're coming. See, they don't want me to get it. By the way, Tom, we do have a upcoming training that we're doing, which is gonna be a super fun one, brand new, carryoverburner.com/unwrap book, and that's gonna be next Wednesday. So, folks, tell your friends. This is the final training that we're doing of 2020. But here are some questions. I just published my first book back in 2019, I did not market well. So Dana, good confession. My book title is called No Longer Cinderella. What do you recommend I do now? I don't even know where to start. And let me just tell you what, just to talk her up, I'm not even kidding. I purposely grabbed Dana's post this morning and I brought her to my team and I said, I'm not even kidding, I'm gonna show you this. Can you see this? Is that the same woman?
Oh, sure.
I said to my team today, who is this? And I love what she posted. I'm not even kidding. This was sent at 6:34 a.m. today. So this is a God thing here. But so she's already on my radar, and I'll tell you why she's on my radar. Because she said she was giving value. So she wasn't saying, you know, do this. She was encouraging people, and it showed up on my Facebook feed. How important is that, Tom, to be an encouraging person? She got my attention this morning.
Yeah, because she's going to stand out certainly by taking that approach. So, you know, kudos to you, Dana, that it's a part of who you are as a brand, as an author, but it's like you said, it's adding value just because she's encouraging people. So yeah. This is the book, No Longer Cinderella.
Oops. So she's got, you know, 16 reviews, came out April. Good subtitle, Discover and Embrace Who You Are Through God's Eyes. Let's click it. And then any thoughts?
Here's the first thing that I think is an opportunity is to get the number of reviews up on Amazon. Mm. Whatever it takes to talk to people that you know have purchased the book or have read the book and ask them. I mean, Carrie, you did a good job of really just making it really simple for people to do that when your book released. You gave here's step-by-step instructions for you to leave, you know, a review on Amazon and how important that is. So that's kind of a first thing that I would, you know, you could do now at this stage of the game, a year and a half after the book has come out. I don't know, Dana, how, you know, what your opportunities are for speaking. I mean, everybody's had a tough time, right, in the last 9 months. But going into 2021, you know, whatever, Q2, Q3, do you have an opportunity to be out speaking and talking about the book to groups, whether it's small, you know, women's groups or MOPS groups? Or, I mean, Shauna Nyquist talks about when she first got started, like she was going into the basements of people's homes and it was very small groups, but that was a start for her, right, to be out and speaking. And just, it's that opportunity for you to be in front of people talking about your book.
I like that.
Yeah, and it's hard for me to really assess, like, you did not market well. And it's hard for me to offer recommendations without knowing, and, you know, maybe that can be a side conversation, like what all was involved with the marketing of the book when it launched in April 2019.
So here, let me read the description a little bit. When life hits hard, it can hurt. Doubt, disappointment, and disbelief can overwhelm us. In No Longer Cinderella, author Dana Lyons shares how she broke free from past trauma and health issues. For years, she believed she was a victim, but through a powerful process, she transformed into a more confident woman, knowing she is loved and chosen by the Lord and King of the universe. So it sounds to me like there's some trauma, there's some health, there's some identity. These all seem like pretty important issues. Like you said, Tom, what about a digital, what about a book club?
A book club would be great. You know, have you already developed small group, you know, questions, study guide that you could offer that could be a resource online for free. I love the idea of you could do it virtually, right? You could, or people could set up book clubs and you could join virtually for maybe their opening session. I mean, that's something you can offer. Like, I'll join you as you kick off your group and maybe join for the first and the last, like if it's a 6 or 8 weeks, you know, depending on how many chapters are in the book. That might be something you could consider.
Love it. Fantastic. She does ask another question, and folks, keep asking questions because we're here for you. She said, I heard from a seasoned author that the best thing you can do as a first-time author is write your second book. What do you think?
Oh, that is interesting. Well, many people will say that their sophomore project is the hardest project ever because and when I say sophomore, I'm talking about your second book. That's how we refer to it in publishing. There's so much that goes into that first book. It's like it ultimately could be your best book or it could be your worst book. I mean, you learn a lot through that first book process. I would never rush a second book. It has to, you know, it really needs to be kind of birthed organically inside of you. There's a lot to be said about making sure that your space, like the timing of a second book. I don't know that I would say, I don't know that I would agree that that's the best thing you can do as a first time author is write your second book.
I agree with you because I think what I tell authors a lot of times is, let's face it, writing a book is hard, but also it's easy in the sense that you can just hide and say, oh, I'm working on my second book. Mm-hmm. And then I've seen authors say, oh, I'm working on my third book. And they never really get out there because they don't want to deal with asking, rejection, all this stuff. I get it. I'm an introvert. I don't like going up to people and saying, hey, can I speak to your crowd?
Yeah.
You know, but Tom, have you seen authors hide behind their writing for sake of not having to then market?
Well, it is a distraction. I mean, let's face it. So if you're focused on writing, it really is a distraction. And so, yes, I mean, so whatever you want to call it, hiding, allowing it to be a distraction. I would say until you fully feel like you have utilized every opportunity to market your first book, I wouldn't think about even starting to write the second book. Maybe you can, you know, jot some ideas down, you can outline it, but spending the time writing, that's a whole new area of focus that, to be fair to your first book, you should just like make sure that you're not trying to do both.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Fantastic. These are good thoughts. We have some more questions. Let's go to Michael. Is there a specific approach to choosing the content you pull out from your book so that it doesn't give away the whole farm?
Yes. I love an editor that will make those in fact, some of my favorite editors will spend time in that macro edit stage and even in the developmental edit stage, pulling out those sticky statements, those quotes that are, or those paragraphs or several paragraphs that are the powerful statements to give to you to use as an author in your pre-promotion of the book. I'm doing that right now for a client who's writing a business book being published by a New York publisher. Mm. And I have just a Google Doc, and as I'm reading, I'm copying and pasting, I'm making comments, and it's allowing the author and that author's team, it's giving them some of what I felt like were the meatiest parts, but you're not giving away, you're just enticing. You're just you're giving enough content that people are going to want more. Mm. So I think that's an opportunity to either lean on a marketer or an editor. So in my case, you know, I'm taking a marketer's viewpoint. You know, what's going to keep that consumer wanting more is here's the things I believe. So I believe a good editor, a good marketer can help you with that.
I like that. And even, Tom, I've done this where I've reread my book and pulled, I mean, back when I didn't have a team and it was just me, which is, that's all right. That's where we all start. I mean, that was me for a lot of years, like the first 8 years, the first four books. But I would pull out quotes and then turn them into graphics. Is that even part of it too? Like you're pulling out, you know,
They're just one or two sentences or, you know, those shorter kind of billboard quotes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Weiwei says, what are some ways of engaging content marketing?
Okay. So how I read this question is, what are opportunities? I mean, content marketing, my goodness. So think of all the ways you can communicate with your audience. It's through your social feeds. Obviously, it's, if you're a blogger, it's through your blog. If you have a podcast, certainly through your podcast. So think of all the ways you're delivering content. I mean, you're making yourself accessible to your reader. All of those should be ways that you should be thinking about sharing that content.
Live streaming, like even now.
Yeah, sure. Right. Yes. I wonder if there could be a little more definition given to that question.
Good. So Weiwei, if you can pop it in. I'll nuance the question while we're waiting for her. One of the questions would be, you got a big book, you know, this book's a lot of chapters. How do you pull out enough for a 5-minute live stream? You know, are we sitting there reading the book, Tom? Like, hey, everybody, I'm going to do a reading. Or is it pulling out a paragraph and explaining it? A controversial.
Yeah. I mean, a live stream, I think you could give an overview of the book. You could share the table of contents. You could read from the introduction, or if you have a foreword from somebody, read the forward. If you have some endorsements, you could share some of those endorsements. I think, you know, usually in a book, you've either got an introduction or the first chapter that's setting up the book. So that's where I would spend the time and energy. So is that helpful?
That's good. That's good. All right, let's go. Let's go here to this other one. Oh, by the way, Dana says, I do speak as well. So she's with you there. Carolyn, great woman from Chicago. She's an unhackable coach, and I met like six of her club yesterday. They're doing awesome. But she says, what to do while you are writing your book? That's a tough question. Because maybe we don't understand it fully, but what to do? So like, I'm going to answer it this way. I'm going to ask it this way, Tom. While you're writing your book, can you build your tribe?
Absolutely. Because I think about the authors that I love and that I follow, knowing that they're writing a book, that's exciting. Invite your followers to join you in the journey.
Interesting.
Share the highs and the lows. I finished a chapter today. I'm so, you know, like, or I wrote 500 words today. I had a connection today with a publicist. There's so much involved in the day to day of an author who is deep in the writing process.
Yep.
You got to come up for air, and you've got to be able to just feel like you can share with your network. Here's what I'm learning. Here's what I'm discovering.
And that's great marketing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Here's why I'm excited about what I'm writing about, because I'm not seeing this from anybody else. And I really feel like I've got something to share in this space that's going to be unique and different. And here's why.
I've told people before, it's like having a baby. You can tell to the world, hey, I just gave birth. And everyone's like, what? I didn't even know you were pregnant. Yeah. And that's how some authors are, right?
Yeah, right. That's it. And right. Yes.
So they're just like, hey, here's my book. But what you're saying is the gender reveal, the name picking, the nursery decorations, like now we all feel part of the journey.
My baby's the size of a pear. Oh, now it's the size of a basketball, you know, there whatever. You
I like that. Okay. So there is some wisdom in while you're writing the book, marketing it through, bringing your tribe along the journey.
Yeah. I mean, there are stages, right? There's that early stage where the book, like you can't even go pre-purchase the book. But then when you get to that spot, like it's on Amazon, it's on barnesandnoble.com. Like that's a big deal. Make a big deal about that. Go pre-order it now. Because if you don't do it, you might forget about it, you know? So yeah.
Our bonuses, right? Get it in.
Benchmarks. Yes. Yeah. I turned my manuscript in. I'm so excited. You know, I met with my editor today, or I had a call with my publicist, you know, all of those, anything that you do that's related to the book that your audience will find fun and enjoyable and intriguing. Share that.
Love it. That's so good. All right. Here's another one. If you have more than one book inside of you and it's all the jumbled up mess we call life, how do you determine where to begin? Mm. Are you going to say proposal?
Proposal will really help you kind of hone in on, and if you have to have three different, you know, if you feel like you've got three book ideas and you've, then start a proposal for each one. And you probably will figure out pretty quickly, like which one has a synopsis and a description that just like rolls off your tongue. Mm. Which one of the books has, as you're thinking about your target audience, you know, demographics, psychographics, which one of those, you know, which one does that come just real naturally? I think even though you may have multiple ideas, there's always like one fire that's burning the hottest in your belly. And I have to believe that from my years of experience. And it may seem like the one that is the most challenging to write, whatever, but that's probably the one you should be leaning into.
That's so good. I tell people, Tom, sometimes you have a safe book and you have a scary book.
Yeah. Yes.
Write the scary book, you know, because it's the one that has the risk. There's a reason why.
Right.
That's good. I like that. Okay. Here's Rochelle. Rochelle's that one that I was telling you about, been a bestseller in all kinds of different categories. And she's in Scotland. She says, if I upload the updated version, will I lose the previous reviews?
Yeah. So, I mean, that is something you work with your publisher on. If the publisher
and if I'm her publisher.
If you're if you're her publisher and you've got a relationship with Amazon, they can help you figure that out. It is tricky.
Yeah. No, but you're right. Rochelle, jump on an author call. We've done that before. There's some ways that you can talk to Author Central and not lose it. That's good.
Yeah. They can try.
Why would someone, I mean, I was trying to find the old version, but I did release a new version. Why do people release newer versions? Newer covers, newer subtitles. Why have you seen that happen over the years, Tom?
Well, if it's a bestseller, you know, for multiple years, like, you know, 10, 12, 15 years, I mean, there aren't, a, I mean, like Purpose-Driven Life, after 10 years, that cover needed a refreshing, even though it sold 30 million copies. So it doesn't matter how great it has sold. There's just covers need to be refreshed and updated.
Yeah.
There's no question. And a lot of times at the same time, you'll want to revisit the content, you know, make sure that you're not talking about people using, you know, dial-up phones or whatever, you know, those cultural references that are outdated and don't make any sense anymore.
Interesting. That's true. Yeah, even some words that we've used in the past are now not appropriate words, you know, 30 years later. I have some C.S. Lewis books that, you know, you can tell this one is very old, you know, but I've seen some newer C.S. Lewis books that have new covers on, and you would have thought the thing just came out last week.
Yeah.
Because it did, you know.
Right.
But it's an older book. Very true. All right. Well, here we have one. This is a good question. Why do Amazon US and UK have all the same categories?
That's a good one, because bisacs are internationally, I believe they're internationally used and accepted. My hunch is that that's a good question. My hunch is just, again, that, you know, culturally things in the UK across the pond and here in the US, there might be the differences. I need to come up with an example.
Well, I like the question and I like your answer. I will say that Amazon is motivated financially.
Yes.
I mean, every time I've seen Amazon do anything, it's not with the author in mind. So there's got to be some monetary reason why, you know, they don't want so many categories in the UK versus the US. And it probably deals with sales or something like that.
Yeah. Yes. That is, I mean, it'd be interesting to know, Rochelle, if that has been created challenges for you, like trying to figure out, like, well, if it's categorized here in the UK, how should it be categorized here in the US? And I think that's just a conversation you have with, you know, with Carrie, or if I can help there, you know, let me know.
Well, and that is cool, because Tom, let's take a little 2-minute break here and talk about your relationship with Author Academy Elite and the Igniting Souls Tribe. I know you're a free agent, but I have an inside track. And so one of my friends, our mutual friend, Brian, pinged me and said, hey, I think Tom might be a free agent soon. And so I quick called you. We got on the phone and we said, hey, how can we bring value to the tribe, the Author Academy Elite students? And by the way, folks, do not forget to sign up for the free training coming up, Unwrap Your Book. But we've kind of taken steps there. So you've already started working with Nikki.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yep. So some of our clients, I brought you into my private fire ring mastermind, and you met Daphne and Nikki and others. You've also spoken at the Igniting Souls conference.
Yes.
What other things do you do in your business as well as with us?
Yeah, it is a lot of a couple of things focused on one-on-one consulting with authors, whether they're a brand new author or they have established themselves, but there's still opportunities. You know, I'll do everything from review your website and give you, you know, just some really just practical tips where things I think are missing. Look at your social media, do an assessment there. I am agenting for a handful of authors. So, you know, bringing authors to publishers to try to make the connections author to publisher. So that's kind of like the key things that I'm focused on.
That's good. We're going to bring you on some author calls as well with our authors. Here's some other questions. We have, someone on YouTube, the pastor writer says, thanks for this. So we have some people over from YouTube. Let's talk about Yvonne.
It depends. So I'm just reading the question here. I have an idea for a second book, which is a follow-up to my first. Would that work? If it's begging for a sequel, then I would say yes. If you have people that have read the first book and said, I want more in this category, this topic, I would say yes. It's a conversation that you, again, should explore with your publisher. If that's Carrie, then, I would encourage you to have that conversation and for you to think about if there were a second book, how do you just outline it? Just get a piece of paper out and, start to outline and then ask for experts to just take a look at it and give their blank response, blank reaction.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I'll tell you what, Tom, when I wrote Elixir Project, I told myself, I'm not going to write a second book, even though I left it as a cliffhanger. I said, I'm not going to write a second fiction book unless it goes big, big time. And unless it becomes a movie. And even though I had some people say, and it wasn't a lot, but I had some people say, hey, what happens? We got to have a second book. How important is it to be true to yourself and say, you know what, I'm not ready to do a second book, even though I might have a few people telling me they're waiting for it. When you look at your career, your life, is there a time to say, you know what, I'm going to go against maybe what some people are saying and I'm going to go with my gut? Because it's a commitment, right?
In a fiction. Right. Yes. I'm not sure, Yvonne, if your first, was it a fiction book? Do you know?
I'll look. Well, what would you say if it is? What would you say?
Well, because typically if you're writing a fiction, if you're writing a novel, and ideally, as you're writing the first book that this is a 3-book series, or this is a 4-book, or this is a 2-book, or this is a standalone. Mm-hmm.
I don't see it. So jump in and tell us, my friend, if what it is.
That'd be helpful to know.
I see a book now. Well, I don't think it's her. So yeah, go ahead and tell us. We'll come back to that question.
Good.
And let's go to Wei Wei. I think this was her comment about the first one.
Okay. So she was asking about content marketing.
Mm.
And yeah, it may not be flowing to life given when we try to prove ourselves through our writing.
I mean, that maybe that was just it's a true statement. It's a good, good comment. Dana says this is gold. She's learning a ton. Let's go now. Oh, hey, Tina likes you. Tina's one of my editors. Because how important, let's talk about that. How important is a good editor?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, a good editor can take a really, it can take a great concept that's just that maybe the craft of the writing is not the greatest, and really spin a masterpiece.
Wow.
I've seen it done time and time again. Between a good editor and maybe sometimes a ghostwriter has to be involved. There are people that are book doctors, believe it or not. We've, used book doctors before. So
tell me about that. I've never heard that term. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
when the book's going to die.
When you have to triage a book, I mean, when you've got a author that has huge platform and big opportunity for sales, but just cannot cannot, you know, write a sentence that makes, you know, that makes sense. You call in a book doctor. I mean, similar to really utilizing a ghostwriter to write the whole thing. But yes, editors, heroes, good for editors. Editors certainly get a lot of well-deserved glory.
Yes. Well, she agrees. Rose, what are publishing companies looking for when deciding to publish a book?
Yep. Good question. I mean, we've just been talking about this, the craft, you know, is the person, is the writing sample publishable? Certainly platform is important, but it's not everything. So don't freak out if you don't have, you know, whatever, 50,000 Instagram followers and 50,000 people on Facebook. So the craft, you know, are you a comp, is there a competency? Platform is important. Just, I think, you know, Seth Godin, master marketer, talks about the purple cow. I think it's, you need to honestly think about, how is my book a purple cow? Like, because if your synopsis and your description can apply to 20 other books, then it's going to be tougher for a publisher to see the value, to see why, you know, why would we don't need, you know, book number 21 on this topic. So how are you uniquely shaped to write about this topic? You know, look at some of the bestsellers and see, you know, what made that book a bestseller. It's a lot of times it's the author's expertise in that area, how it was really unique to that, you know, to that topic. So those are things that come to mind right away.
That's good. What about, we've all heard the story of the rejected manuscript, the one that everybody passes on, all the authors pass on, and yet, or publishers, and yet somehow it gets through somewhere, maybe self-published. Mm-hmm. What do you say about that when other people don't, quote, come around you?
Well, don't let that stop you from pursuing. Like, if it is not, you know, if you've taken it to multiple publishers and you're not getting traction, but you believe in it and you've got, you know, a whatever support network around you of other writers, publishing professionals that are cheering you on and saying, yes, this is a good idea, then I would continue to pursue it. Like, if it is a self-publishing or a hybrid model, or, you know, there's opportunities out there for sure.
That's awesome. Okay. Next one. What should you be asking influencers for? I got all kinds of thoughts on this. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, besides everything that you say there, I like your knowing most influencers have limited time. What is most helpful? I mean, a sincere, that is a huge challenge. Like, how, what is your relationship like with those influencers? That, in my mind, makes all the difference. So, because there are the usual suspects with, like, I mean, book after book after book, we'd have people saying, I'm going to get a endorsement from this person. And it'd be like all the usual suspects. So, like, go outside of the usual suspects, first of all, people that still have influence and can be helpful, but find those people in your own network that will go the extra mile without you even having to ask them. But yes, you're right. Social shares, reviews, endorsements, all of those are, I mean, yes, just kind of at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we sent out you saw it, Tom, a very nice,
yes,
customized influencer box that has, you know, it's all tricked out. These things are not cheap. You know, it's got the book, it's got the t-shirt, and even sending this out, which, oh my gosh, you know, I don't know, with shipping, I don't know, maybe close to $50 each or something like that. And we can't all do that. And that was like my eighth book. And that was, but even then, that's not going to get people's attention. I've had a handwritten note that passes through the gatekeeper that's sincere and heartfelt and affirming to the person. And even maybe it just might be a picture of you and them that you took 6 years ago when you heard them speak or something. Yeah. And sometimes those get through versus all this tricked out stuff. What do you think?
Yes, without question. I mean, I've told my adult children so many times, you go to an interview and it comes down to you and the other person, or let me rephrase this. I've had people I've interviewed top, and I had top two candidates equally, qualified. One of them writes me a handwritten note. The other one sends me an email. Do you know who's getting the job? The handwritten note all day long. And so for the same reason, you know, and I've had authors that handwrote notes to 50 or 100 people. That makes such an impression, especially for those influencers who are getting two or three packages a day on their front porch from other people wanting them to promote their books.
Yeah.
So just simple thing like a handwritten note, golden.
I like that. All right, here. We're going to go through rapid fire here, okay?
Yep.
Because, man, see, they're quiet, and then all of a sudden they start letting up. It's a good group right here. All right. I'm just going to start firing them off.
I don't think, I mean, you could give away 30% of your book and you're not giving away too much. So content marketing, don't be shy about sharing the content of your book.
That's right. I was going to agree with you. I really do. I think sometimes, here's what Seth Godin says. He says, piracy is not your biggest concern. Scarcity is.
Yep.
And so, you know, we all got this, oh, they're going to rip it off, or, oh, I'm going to share too much, or no, you're not. There's a quote that says, whoever became poor by giving.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, to that point, you could give away more than 30%. I mean, I think 30% is kind of a good, like if you're giving away, if you have 10 chapters and you want to give the first three, like as for anybody that pre-orders the book, or even if they don't pre-order the book, whatever, you determine that, that's not giving away too much.
Awesome.
If chapters 4 through 10 are really good chapters.
There you go.
Don't give away the best three though.
What to do with marketing while writing your book? I know we touched on this a little bit,
You should be pulling out those sticky statements and those sticky, you know, those quotes that are really meaningful, powerful, impactful as you're writing. Highlight those, start a Google Doc, just start throwing them in there so that you and your marketing team, whatever, the marketing person, work with your editor to do that.
Love it. Next one. People like the baby shower idea. You know, the whole book baby thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the one with the largest follow? Okay. Maybe she was just commenting.
Okay.
I think so. Here's another. Here's Dana again.
Well, I think, Dana, I think that your cover needs some help. I'll just be honest with you. I've looked at hundreds of covers over the last 12 years and had I think that there could be some opportunities for a revised cover.
Yeah.
And a revised cover design based on my blink response when Carrie brought it up on Amazon.
And I'm going to bring it up on Amazon again. And again, that's why I like you, because listen, we need truth tellers.
Yeah.
And it's not that you're saying her cover isn't good, but you're saying that to take it to the next level.
Yeah. You got to think about your cover as honestly kind of the first, I mean, not so much as important today because the retail landscape has changed so much. But just wherever it is seen, I mean, I get the image. It's a
caterpillar
looking at a butterfly. Mm-hmm. But I'd want to see some new options, I think, if you're going to revise.
Mm-hmm. And Tom, since she's being so gracious, letting us give her some feedback, what about someone who says, yeah, I've heard that before, no longer Cinderella? Like, does her title, subtitle, and cover give away the answer already?
Yeah, I'm looking to discover and embrace who you are through God's eyes.
I don't know.
The title is a stumbling block to me, but the subtitle is, I mean, the subtitle tells me what the book is, Discover and Embrace Who You Are Through God's Eyes.
Mm-hmm. But look at the benefit. The benefit is that she wants you're going to become a confident woman.
Yeah, right.
So maybe that Discover and Embrace Who You Are Through God's Eyes, so that, like, give us the benefit
mm-hmm.
of why,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So no longer Cinderella, you're saying, you know, you're no longer, you know, locked in the whatever tower of the castle. You've been set free. You've come to the ball, whatever. I mean, that Cinderella term,
like you're saying, it's a metaphor. It's we've
right.
heard that story before. There's a whole background to it.
Yeah. And there's a lot that that goes into a cover design process. When I was at Zondervan, I mean, we had a whole lengthy forum where we looked at comp titles and we talked about the target, you know, the audience and what, I mean, all of the, it all works together, title, subtitle, cover image, back ad. You know, that all is important. So, I mean, I'm kind of blindly giving, you know, thoughts and advice, but I mean, I'd be happy to look at that a little more deeper, honestly, just to help maybe guide the conversation with a new cover design.
Mm-hmm. Cool. We got other people that they're on our Business Academy Elite calls right now with their other coach. That's fine. And again, folks, if you're liking this, grab your spot because we're almost out of time. Rochelle said she loved you at conference.
Nice.
Carrie's finding a ton of value. Weiwei loves it. Have you seen any effect on book sales during the pandemic?
Everything I've read, you know, through all of the publishing, Publishers Weekly, which is the main rag for the publishing world, and then ECPA for the Christian space, is that book sales have been quite steady, honestly. People have had a lot more time to read, right? You're stuck at home.
That's what I was thinking. Absolutely.
That's definitely been, I mean, I've been reading more. My daughter's been reading more. My wife's been reading more. So a little bit of the challenge has been libraries. So many libraries have been, I mean, there's still, you can still check out books, but you can't like go into the libraries, which is unfortunate. Bookstores are open, at least retail's open here in Michigan, which it wasn't for a while. But you know, Black Friday, I mean, online sales was through the roof.
Even the different mediums.
Mm-hmm.
So in the last 72 hours, I got Kindle Unlimited because there was a book that I was going to buy anyway for an ebook. I wanted it right away. And they're just like, do you want to join Kindle Unlimited? And I didn't even know what it was, but for, I don't know, $1.99 a month or something. Now I can download up to 10 books at a time. And, you know, you have Audible. So I think part of the beauty of publishing today is the different mediums. What do you think?
But, oh, without question. I mean, audio, you know, ebook sales have flattened. I mean, they've, but audiobook sales, I haven't looked at recent stats, but they were on a rise. I mean, the audio, the biggest producer of audiobooks said that on average, their listeners were listening 112 minutes a day. Now, this was pre-pandemic.
Yeah. So
this
was commuting.
Right.
Exercise. I mean, you run, I do Peloton. I'm doing audiobooks.
Yeah. While you wash the dishes, while you mow the lawn, whatever, audiobooks can go anywhere. So yeah, that's been huge.
That's great. That's great to hear. See, I knew you guys would like these trends. So we even have more questions coming, but let's stop with this one, and then they're going to have to come on. Is sign up, folks. Sign up for the training on the 9th, a week from today. It's carryoverbrenner.com/unwrap book, if you can pop that in, Michael. But what do you think about this? Why, and I've heard this, why is Amazon not letting us say COVID?
Jeez.
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Or does it open up a whole conspiracy?
I mean, you can probably Google that, but then your computer might be shut down. I have two thoughts. I mean, the first thought is, well, can you go back to the question? Is it in the description, or you're saying that books, like in the content, can't mention?
We've gotten flagged. I've heard that it's because, again, this is all hearsay.
Yeah.
But this is their standard answer. Because we don't want to circulate any non-medical advice that is not bent. Yeah, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Right. I mean, that's their answer.
Yeah. I wonder if there could be a little bit of that. There could be a little bit of everybody is trying to capitalize on COVID. And, you know, we just, although this is a like freedom of speech, right? And I do wonder if there is just a little bit of, I don't know, behind the scenes
political pressure.
Political, yep.
Yep. Well, a great way to end, man. But Tom, listen, this was a gift. You and I are going to be on again next week. We're going to be giving a fantastic training, kind of the trends that are happening. And folks, if you're an author, if you know someone who wants to be an author, bring them here. Tom, thank you for helping me with Unhackable.
Yes.
It's been fantastic. And I know we're doing some PR together, and it's been great.
You're so welcome. It's great to be on with everybody today.
All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carryoverbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.